couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We are in August, which means that there's questionable movies opening. Yes. We've seen them. They're just questionable movies. And those questionable
movies. I'm still questioning them.
The questionable movies are The World's End, You're Next, The Mortal Instrument, City of Bones. And there's also going to be news and DVDs and box office and all the other fun shenanigans.
All kinds of fun stuff that we will get into.
Oh, you know, before we do that, I just want to say I did research this week. You'll be happy to know that I watched.
I know what's coming.
I went back. We're not going to go back into a discussion like we had last week.
We're not talking enchiladas or any other Mexican food.
We're not
going to
go into the gory details. No.
Okay.
But I did go watch again that first scene of Flight.
Yes.
To be fair, I watched it twice.
I'm sure you did.
For the interest of science. Yeah. And I brought a new analogy. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to have to go into all the... But let's just say, yes, you can see the goal line.
Okay, yes.
But you can't see the end zone.
Okay.
There we go. So. But the rating was not labeled the way we talked about next week. If you don't know what that is, you can go back, search us, and...
Find last week's show. You dare.
And if you want to find that, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and you can find our archived shows there. You can email us if you want have another question that wants to make me squirm.
Please do. It was fun.
Or send
it
something
really
to
was.
Make Kristen squirm. That would be cool.
Eh.
It's not as fun.
Nah.
Which proves my point from last week.
Everything proves your point from everything, Kevin.
I know.
I have been working with you long enough to know that.
I'm science.
Science.
If you want to email us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. Like I said, go to fatguysatthemovies.com. If you want to get our old shows, you can go to facebook.com/FGATM for updates. And you can get me on Twitter by tweeting at me.
Tweet away.
Twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk box office.
Let us do that, because this week is crazy again.
I can declare legitimate victory, though.
You can.
Yes.
You can declare victory, because this one is nuts.
Absolutely. Pants off, dance off time.
Oh, jeez.
A different kind of squirming this week.
I'm going to have to do better research so that doesn't happen again.
Well, no. Here's the thing. I said The Butler at $20 million. You said Kick-Ass 2 at $20
million. Yeah.
That's not a... That was what people were predicting.
Yeah.
That was very accurate to what
it made perfect
thought.
Sense at the time. Yikes.
I ended up picking the right movie. I was $5 million low. The Butler actually did a surprisingly good amount.
Yes, it did.
At $25
million.
So, yeah, good for you guys. I will see what happens.
There you go, Harvey. You win.
You win.
Again.
I win. Okay. Forrest Whitaker. We'll see if that sustains over the next couple months.
We will see.
Through award season. Mm-hmm. We still haven't seen the movie.
Nope.
I didn't say. I'm sure we'll get a screener. That's why I didn't go. I could have gone last weekend and just.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they'll send me a screener like in November-ish.
That's good enough. That's kind of what I figure.
Yep. Then here's the fun part. Then at number two was We're the Millers at $18 million, which was actually a fantastic hold.
Yeah, go figure.
It was like, it's like $10 million less than it made. Mm-hmm. It had just like a 30-some percent drop. It was...
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's, yeah, wow. And then Elysium at $14 million, and then Planes at $13 million, and then Kick-Ass 2 at fifth place, losing to We're the Millers and Planes in their second
and
weekend.
Planes, I tell you.
Yeah. At $13 million. I know there's a critic friend of mine whose husband actually wrote Planes.
Really?
He's the author of Planes. Yeah, and he like wrote like some of the Tinkerbell movies and stuff like that. Oh, he works for Disney. Uh-huh. And I remember seeing her. She's like, hey, guys, it's awesome. Planes beat out Kick-Ass 2.
It is pretty awesome.
That's impressive.
Good on you, Planes.
Yeah. But Planes is at like $45 million, which is plenty for what it needed.
Well, considering it was supposed to go straight to video, that's not bad.
Yeah, so. But Kick-Ass 2 at $13 million. Didn't even come close to its...
Which, granted,
movie.
Not a great movie.
No.
So that's all right, but where was everybody?
Well,
because at the screening, people were wound up about this movie.
Yeah, but they were wound up about Grindhouse when that came out.
That's true.
You can't. I've learned you can't judge the worth of a movie or the box office of the movie by the people who go to the screenings.
That's true.
Because they just want a free movie. Mm. God, imagine if they gave out free popcorn. It would be a madhouse in those places.
People would die in those theaters. Seriously. I have feared for my own life at screenings before, but if there was free popcorn, yeah. I would come in full, like...
You'd be, like, decked out in kick-ass gear?
There would be full body armor for screenings. It would be terrible.
So, 13 million was terrible. And the thing is, when the first Kick-Ass opened, it opened soft, too. They were expecting it to be bigger because it generated so much buzz. And it's yet again another example of niche fanboy excitement does not translate into box office numbers.
Right. You know, kind of like Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane, Grindhouse, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. There's a lot of these.
Yeah.
A lot of these. And then you have, like, Percy Jackson, and then Jobs at $6.7 million, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But the movie costs, like, $12 million to make, so.
It'll do okay in the end.
And as it goes, Two Gun Smurfs, Wolverine. The funny thing is, Paranoia, which was the other movie.
Paranoia.
It made $3.5 million in 15th place.
Does that even cover, like, Harrison Ford's salary?
No. It's such a bad number. It's less than Kick-Ass made on one day.
Yeah.
And Kick-Ass was a bomb.
Yeah.
So.
$3.5 million.
Yeah.
And how many theaters was that playing in?
All of them.
A lot. And nobody saw it.
A terrible box office.
Yeah.
And it showed. Because it reminded me, and I said this last week, it reminded me of Cold Light of Day. Which wasn't a bad sort of direct-to-video kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually know the guy who wrote it. I know people who write.
How do you know these people?
And he's a really nice guy, and it's a shame because, yeah, I wish the guy had more success. But he did other movies. He's done like The Marine 3.
Oh, well, good for him.
but yeah, Paranoia. I'm sure Paranoia would be a perfectly fine, crappy, late-night Showtime movie.
Right.
I don't think it would be a very good movie to spend $15 to go see. Maybe a dollar at Redbox.
There you go.
So that's it. That is what happened to the box office. It's embarrassing. We're in August.
It was a mess.
Wow. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of news. You had some Star Wars casting news.
Yes. Ewan McGregor is going to be back for the next Star Wars.
Ooh.
As some ghost of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work.
You know, this all reminds me of...
Because Alec Guinness is dead.
Right. And this reminds me of when they first brought out the news that they were going to do Star Wars again. It's a big deal. And I went to my niece, who is, how old is she now? I don't know, 11, 12, 12 maybe? 12.
You look at me like I would know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
She's somewhere around there. I lost track a few years ago. And she's a huge Star Wars fan.
Good for her.
And I said, hey, you know, they're making new Star Wars movies. And she looked at me and went, but everybody's dead.
Or their careers are.
I was like, good for you, kid.
Well, and here's the thing. I love the idea that they're bringing back some of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of them haven't held up very well.
It's true.
Mark Hamill looks like a hobo. And Carrie Fisher.
We mean that with love.
I think Mark Hamill's. And I love his career now. I love the fact he's a geek. He does voiceover stuff. He's really into it. And that's awesome. And Carrie Fisher, all those years of cocaine have finally caught up to her.
No.
And because you know what the last movie I saw her in was?
What was that?
Sorority Row. Did you see that?
Well, no, actually, I missed that one.
Oh, she looked
which
awful.
Was too bad.
Before that, it was that Jay and Silent Bob. No, yeah, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she looked older, but then this one, she kind of ballooned out. And yeah.
They're probably not going to put her back in the bikini?
God, I hope not.
Okay.
Wow, that would be awesome, though. Just have Jabba show up and be like, hey.
Didn't she lose a lot of weight, though?
I don't know. Cocaine does that to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'm still excited for Star Wars. Everyone's going to hate it, but. I'm still okay with that.
It'll be fun.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to review some movies like The World's End, The Mortal Instruments, and You're Next.
welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Science!
Science. Yes. Should we talk about some movies?
Let's sure.
Talk about some movies and not your theories on Mexican food.
Mexican food and end zones and all that good stuff.
Yes. No more analogies.
Footballers.
Yes. Let's talk about The World's End.
Yes.
Simon Pegg stars as an immature has-been who convinces his old friends to join him on a pub crawl through their old hometown, only to find that something there isn't quite right.
Ooh. And we're back.
Just like the Five Musketeers.
Three Musketeers, innit?
Well, nobody knows how many there were, really, do they?
You know that The Three Musketeers is a fiction, right? Written by Alexander Dumas.
A lot of people are saying that about the Bible these days.
What, that it was written by Alexander Dumas?
Don't be daft, Steve. It was written by Jesus.
Are we there yet?
Let's go there!
Welcome home, boys.
It's not us that's changed. It's the town.
What are you doing?
It's all right. I'm not trying to have sex with you.
There's something I need to tell you right now. Unless you do want to have sex, in which case I'll tell you afterwards.
This is tough. Because I absolutely love Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Loved. So, you know, it's very exciting to see another one of these movies by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Very exciting!
Yes.
This is kind of a bittersweet movie.
Yeah.
It's not all kinds of craziness and wackiness and fun.
Yeah.
You know, the whole movie, it's set on a guy who's kind of depressing.
I mean, kind of.
Simon Pegg's character
depressing.
Is kind of a mess.
Really
you
pathetic.
Know? Yeah. He is still wearing his old t-shirts from 1990, and he is stuck in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives the whole thing kind of a desperate undertone to it.
Yes.
It's kind of sad. But, that said, it still stars Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Who is absolutely hilarious. So, he can take this desperate, depressing character and make him so funny that you don't even care.
Well, and they also have, not only is Nick Frost, but it's not that buddy group. Because in both Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, it was the two of them paired together carrying the movie. Whereas it's he's there, but Martin Henderson's there and Patty Kotzenstein's there, who played one of the Andes in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a bigger cast that carries it. And it's much more Simon
Eddie
Pegg's
Marzan
movie.
Yeah. Is so funny.
Yes.
He is awesome. So it does have an incredible cast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, I was writing an article for Film School Rejects this week and where I was doing the commentary on Hot Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene in Hot Fuzz where he's on a foot chase after this kid. And he turns a corner and says, Raiders of the Lost Ark moment, and comes right into the camera and he goes,
oh, yeah.
You mothers. And they do the reverse shot and it's all these women pushing baby carriages.
Nice, yeah.
And on the commentary, Edgar Wright, which was recorded in 2007, he's like, well, this was a joke I wrote for another movie that never got made about a pub crawl. And I'm like, oh, he's talking about The World's End.
Wow.
That's really kind of cool. You
yeah.
know? So you see that it's been something that's been knocking around his brain for a while. And apparently it's based on a real pub crawl that he did with his buddies that probably kind of went to, you know what, by the end.
They, I can imagine.
They go to what, 10 bars?
12.
12.
Yeah.
12 and try to do 12 pints of beer.
Yeah.
Whether or not all this other shenanigans is going on, that's not easy to do.
No. And that is what makes the movie funny because, you know, as they get progressively drunker with each pub, it's kind of funny just how they play it out. I mean, it's really well acted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other stuff that comes in, all of the other craziness that's going on around them.
Kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. And a little odd.
Yeah. It seems very jarring because the let's just say the other stuff, the supernatural element.
Yeah.
Or rather, I wouldn't call it, well, I mean, it is supernatural,
yeah.
but it's the
it's
the genre film element.
Right.
Because Shaun of the Dead's a zombie movie, Hot Fuzz is a buddy cop movie, and this deals with its own genre. I don't want to give too much away because it doesn't come into play.
Until like an hour in.
Yeah, like well into the second act. Because I'm here watching it, I'm like thinking, is there more to this than just, I mean, this is a neat little story, but, and then suddenly I'm like, oh, this crazy stuff starts happening. I'm like, now it feels like it fits in that three-part movie.
And when it happens, it makes sense. You're like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and all these things, they come together and you're like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel a little out of place and very strange.
It deals with much more complex issues and more real issues about, you know, trying to get your youth back and middle age and alcoholism. It tackles some pretty hefty things here and there. Whereas Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz don't.
Not so much, no.
Those are basically deconstruction movies. They pick apart a genre. And what's brilliant about both those movies is they work. Shaun of the Dead works equally well as a zombie movie and as a comedy deconstructing zombie movies.
So brilliant.
Same thing with Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz works as a buddy cop movie. Mm-hmm. It's a fun buddy cop movie, but it also works as a very self-aware, irreverent deconstruction of the buddy cop movie, which is exactly what it was meant to be. This one doesn't work as either. And that's not necessarily criticism, but it's a differentiator from the other two films.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This definitely stands out from the other two.
Yeah. So it has some funny moments. It's not as good as the other ones.
Nope.
But it's still worth seeing.
It is.
I give it a kind of rocks.
I say kind of rocks, too.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Chris and Dreyer Kramer. Let's move on. And actually, before we talk, I didn't want to put this in the review segment because I kind of wanted the movie to stand on its own. What are your thoughts about having it kind of lumped into that Cornetto trilogy, that label? Do you like that?
It is really kind of a sketchy label.
Yeah.
You know, it's the three movies that completely have nothing to do with each other, really.
Yeah. For the audience, for those who don't know what it means, because not everybody knows that.
Right.
In the movies, they feature Cornetto ice cream, which is a British ice cream cone type thing.
And it's also called the Blood and Ice Cream Trilogy.
Yes.
Yes.
In Shaun of the Dead, they eat strawberry Cornetto, which is red for blood. In Hot Fuzz, they eat blue, which is for cops. Mm-hmm. And then this one, they eat green. And actually, in the Hot Fuzz commentary, they make the joke about, oh, yeah, if we do a third one, it's going to have to be green. It'll be mint, you know.
Well, there you go.
So go on. I just want to make sure that the audience knew what that was.
Yeah, it's kind of loosely put together in a trilogy.
Yeah.
So, eh.
I know people, I'm such a curmudgeon on that. Because everyone's like, oh, it's the third film in the Cornetto trilogy. And I'm like, what? And then if you go back and look at it, it was a joke they were making during Hot Fuzz. Because they're like, oh, yeah, I guess we feature I'm assuming that they just like Cornetto ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly now it's just the third film in the trilogy. And you're right. They have nothing to do with each other.
No.
They have characters playing. And actually, they don't fit together at all. There's no like crossover.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
And it's more for flavor.
It's the same thing. Edgar Wright directed it. Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg wrote it. And, you know, Nick Frost is in it.
I'm not a big fan of people labeling stuff trilogies that really aren't trilogies.
It's true.
Like, I remember when Oliver Stone, he did Heaven and Earth with Tommy Lee Jones. Mm-hmm. And they're like the third in his Vietnam trilogy. I'm like, whoa, now hold on. So he did Platoon. Then he did Born on the 4th of July. And then these movies, they just take place in Vietnam.
He just
made three movies about Vietnam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Godfather trilogy, which is in fact
three stories fit together, and they're about the same characters. And
I get it.
Yeah. It's a little sketchy, you know.
I'm a big grump.
There you go.
All right. 20 seconds left. Let's really quickly, what are your thoughts? Because we covered that. Whoops, we had this story on from Comic-Con we never actually hit on, but Wright and Pegg and Frost said that they might do another movie together.
Yay!
I think they should, and I like the idea of them getting away from this.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. They're very funny guys. I support that. I'll contribute to your Kickstarter campaign.
Me too. I'm in.
All right. Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Mortal Instruments, and you're next.
Yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move right on to the next movie we're going to be talking about. It actually opened this past Wednesday, which they're opening lots of movies on Wednesday now.
But nobody cares.
Usually those used to be like for like Memorial Day when they're like, let's do this. So we get this like 8-day opening weekend.
Right. No. It's August.
They're just like, yeah, we'll just put it out there
because
people might notice it or not, as is with the case with the Mortal Instruments. City of Bones. Lily Collins stars as a girl who discovers she has special powers to fight demons and protects a precious artifact.
Why can I see you and no one else can?
You're not a mundane.
What is a mundane?
Someone from the human world.
Well, if not a human, then what am I? You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I don't understand what any of this has to do with my mom.
Your mother was a shadow hunter. Like him. Like you.
There's a map inside your head, Clary. You are the key to our survival.
What now?
The werewolves are here to save us. Never thought I'd say that.
Ever since Harry Potter made it big over a dozen years ago, studios have been scrambling to find the next big breakout hit from juvenile literature.
It's true. They keep trying.
They had Twilight, and Twilight was a huge hit.
Unfortunately, we got Twilight.
But along the way, even though, I mean, although I didn't like Twilight, it has its fan base.
It does.
But along the way, we saw lackluster efforts with Percy Jackson, Aragon, Seeker of the Dark is Rising, I Am Number 4.
We have gotten all kinds of pathetic movies that we've sat through.
There is an exploded minefield of movies that will not get sequels.
Yes.
Percy Jackson did. We saw how that went.
Let's the Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games. That's the new one, yeah.
There you go.
So they're trying with Mortal Instruments, which is apparently a very popular bestseller.
It is.
Here's the problem. The movie is just terrible. I mean, it is bad. And you watch the trailer, and you know it's going to be bad. But it's, like, really bad compared to the trailer. Now, did you like that? What was that witch movie that came out?
That witch movie?
No, the one with
It's a really memorable one.
Yeah, Beautiful Creatures.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you like... You thought that was okay. No? I didn't
like
it. It
was decent.
I thought it was... Ugh.
Yeah.
But what that one felt like it was like a made-for-TV movie for the CW.
Mm-hmm.
This one looks like it's like a made-for-the-TV movie for the CW back in the 90s.
Nice.
It is needlessly convoluted. Weird stuff happens, and they don't quite explain it, and then they take, like, 20 minutes to explain things. There's dialogue that, like, doesn't connect. Like, one person will say something and ask a question, and the other person will make a statement that doesn't even answer the question.
Wow.
It is all over, and it just, the characterization is just painful, and it's, it's like over 2 hours long.
Wow.
And I'm watching this going, oh, God, is it just end? And I don't know how many times I sat there and I said to myself, I go, just out loud, because I was in the theater. There were these women, like, way up in the back who were watching it. And they were, like, I guess they were fans of the – but then they start walking out, and I'm like, they're, like, in their 30s. And I'm like, okay, creepos. This is for, like, kids. But I found myself –
I read books that are for kids.
Well, yeah, but do you go with your weird-looking friends to the movies?
Well, you go, yes, I do,
you've been
actually
to the movies with me. No, it was these, and it was. I said to myself, I don't know how many times I'm like, wow, this is bad. I mean, it's worse than Twilight. Twilight's bad. Mm. Don't get me wrong.
This is a whole new level of bad, is
yes.
what you're saying?
I challenge anyone to watch this and actually make an argument that it's a better film than the Twilight movies, and those are not good. So it sucks.
Right on.
Let's move on.
Let's do that.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. What's next?
Next is Your Next.
Oh.
Ah, a family's awkward weekend in the country is disrupted by a crew of masked men who seem determined to kill them all in nasty ways.
Oh, who hasn't had that happen?
I know. I hate when that happens. Seriously, the guys in the animal masks. They always ruin the perfectly good family dinner.
What is that? For days. This wasn't a random attack.
I heard a rumor that you hated this movie.
I hated this movie so much. And it's funny because...
Okay, go. Unload.
I was watching this movie with our dear friend Nick Harum from MoviesHateYou2.com. And there was one point, which it just kind of summed it all up. And one of the characters was talking about how, you know, people were here. And the rest of the family was coming. And Nick leaned over to me and went, are they bringing a screenwriter? Because that's kind of how I felt about it. Because the writing is so awkward, and the acting is even worse, and the characters are even worse than that. And seriously, I didn't care if they died. I wanted them all to die. They're so spoiled and pompous and just ridiculous. I didn't care. I wanted them to die.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just wanted them to get it over with so that I could go home.
I will say this. When they, before like all the mayhem starts and they're sitting down to the dinner, that's like the most awkward. That's the worst part. It's just like, I would actually rather be in a house with people trying to kill me than to sit at the dinner table with these people. Because they're such horrible people.
Terrible people.
But here's the thing. I loved this movie.
I know you did. And I saw it on Facebook last night and I thought, oh, Kevin.
And here's why. It, to me, and I guess it's a question of whether you believe the bad writing was done intentionally or not.
And that's one of those things. I kept saying that. Like, is this on purpose? Because it doesn't feel wacky enough to have been done on purpose.
It, like, just, it was very dryly.
It,
well, like, there's
doesn't
a scene.
Feel like anybody is in on the joke.
I see. I took it that they were.
No.
And that's why I loved it. Because there's like a scene in the beginning where they come to the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, oh, the mother and the father, they come in because they're the first ones there. And the guy's like, the door's open. How'd that happen? Oh, I'm sure it's nothing. And it was just, to me, I thought, that, I'm like, well, that's
no,
hilarious.
I think that was just really bad writing and really bad acting.
No, I think that,
no,
I'm
was
pretty
really
sure
bad.
They did that intentionally.
I don't think so.
And here's why, because like Ty West, he played Tariq, the boyfriend.
Right.
And I'm like, well, he's pretty smart and well-versed in the horror genre. And he does a lot of send-ups on his own. And I'm like, These I think these guys know what they're doing. I think I really honestly believe that they intentionally it was a deconstruction.
I don't know because it was so uncomfortable. I mean,
that's the point.
No, uncomfortably bad, like physically painfully bad.
Oh, I love
like
that.
You just don't know what they're trying to do, and you just kind of feel bad for them.
I took that all as a comedy. There's a scene with the sister. And I was howling through that scene. I was laughing.
Oh, I probably
so
was
hard.
Too, but not with them.
I think I was. I thought it was. I thought it was had a great awareness of what came before it in terms of other movies, and some of the scenes and the dialogue are hilarious. But they're just I and people can disagree on. Whether it was intentionally hilarious or not, I think it was intentional.
Yeah, we had another discussion. You probably heard about this from Ed, our friend.
No,
Ed.
I haven't actually talked to him.
Oh, because we were talking about it, and he asked us what we thought about it. Yeah.
Ed Douglas.
And he actually, he saw it at Toronto 2 years ago when it opened, and he hated it.
Yeah.
And then when all the hype came out, and he was like, well, maybe I should give it another shot. And he saw it at South by Southwest, and he's like, I walked out. I couldn't sit through it.
Yeah.
He's like, everybody's talking about it. And he's like, and then I had to do an interview, and I had to sit through it again. And I was like, oh. He's like, it's a bad, bad movie. I'm like,
yeah.
Seriously, this is the worst movie this year that does not star Melissa McCarthy.
I had such a blast watching this movie.
Oh.
And it just gets so bizarrely extreme at times with the violence.
And there are times when it's so boring. Seriously, nothing happens. You know what's going on. You know who's involved. It's just people walking through the house trying either to avoid each other or to find each other.
Oh, no.
So boring.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh.
Anyways, and here's the thing. There have been four movies this summer that really have impressed me, and they were movies I thought were better than they were going to. And it was Iron Man 3. I really like that. I know some people disagree with me. Pacific Rim, and I know you disagree with that one. The Conjuring, which I loved, and You're Next. Everything else disappointed me in some way, not this one.
Well, good for you.
I think it was totally rocks. What's yours?
Oh, it totally sucks.
All right. Mm-hmm. When we come back, box office.
Shake that.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Yes.
Kevin just spent the break trying to convince me that You're Next is an awesome movie.
It's amazing.
And he has not succeeded.
Awesomely written.
It's so terrible.
Not as good as Cabin in the Woods from last year. In terms of horror deconstruction.
So painful. It still hurts.
I actually say that You're Next works better as sort of like that as a horror movie and a deconstruction movie the way that Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead work.
You are definitely allowed to think that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the go-ahead.
So anyway, let's move on now.
Yeah.
To the box office predictions.
Oh,
we have a theme song.
Nice. No, we don't.
We have a new theme song for our box office predictions. So as you're singing our theme song, what do you think is going to win the box office this week?
All right. I don't think anything's going to do very well this week.
No.
And I don't think Mortal Instruments doesn't have a chance.
No.
Even if it was decent, it opened on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that usually kills any movie from winning the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Except for We're the Millers, which comes pretty doggone close.
Yeah, you know. Random.
I don't think that The World's End is going to do terribly well.
No.
Because if you look at historically, Edgar Wright doesn't open to big box office.
No, he does not. And it's not opening as wide as a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's like in 1,500 theaters.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you look back at Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, both did very well for the size of the movie they are.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the States, you're talking $5-6 million.
Right.
And You're Next, as much buzz as it's getting, I don't know if it's generating the mainstream buzz that something like, say, The Conjuring did.
It's true.
So I'm going to give it to The Butler again.
Really?
At $15 million.
I'm going to stick with You're Next because I think it's a big year for horror movies. And as much as I hated it, that doesn't change anything. So I'm going to give it to You're Next. And, you know, just for fun, I'm going to say that gets 15.
Ooh.
So let's stick with that.
All right. I mean, I can see that happen. I mean, I think it could go either way.
Uh-huh. I agree.
I mean, I do think there's an awful lot of buzz for You're Next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distributed by Lionsgate, which tends to do pretty well with horror.
It does, yes.
And you're right. It's been a big year because you had The Conjuring.
The Purge.
The Purge, which is technically horror.
Yeah.
And what was it? There was another big horror movie that... Was it this summer?
Mm.
Yeah. Drawing a blank.
Yeah. Anyway.
Identity Thief. That was a horror.
That was a horror.
Uh-huh. All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about some Blu-rays and DVDs. Let's lead it off with Epic.
I am so confused. We get a theme song for the box office.
Oh my gosh!
And we don't do the intro for the DVDs. I'm so confused.
Oh, I am so confused.
Seriously.
I should not have drank all that cough syrup this morning.
When you watch Your Next.
My brain is fried. Mm-hmm. What time is it? It's time for the world famous
DVD roundup.
Oh.
Woo.
I had one job and I failed.
I know. It's a mess this week.
I quit. Oh, heavens.
So anyway, DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yes. Let's talk about Epic. Did you watch Epic yet?
I did watch Epic.
It's a beautiful movie.
What was that?
It's a sigh.
It is a beautiful movie. The story is kind of a mess.
Yeah,
it's a little bit Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in nature with animation.
Yeah. Kind of like, it has that whole, it's like the Littles or the Borrowers.
It's kind of wacky and rambly and goes all over the place.
Eddie.
But Beyonce's in it. So there's that.
Well, that was not a reason to see the movie.
No. She's actually probably the worst member of the cast.
She's terrible in the movie.
She is really bad.
The
rest of the cast, though, is quite good.
The voice cast,
Christoph Waltz is in it, and he is a villain, and he's awesome.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It's nothing you haven't seen before.
No. But it is beautiful.
It looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's a beautifully animated movie. And it's fun. I mean, it has that feel of that Saturday matinee movie that you take the kids to see. It's not trying to be, because when you get to these animated films, especially this year, we've seen them. They're either like the concept is so hard to swallow, like Turbo, that you take an hour swallowing that concept, or they're trying to be something bigger successfully or not they're trying to be that big, no pun intended, epic movie. Stuff like the Pixar movies and the other DreamWorks films. But Epic was Fox Animation.
Yes.
I thought it was neat.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Check it out. Then there's not at all the same kind of movie.
No.
There's Amore.
Whew. If you want to feel like you've been punched in the stomach, go watch Amore.
No one will ever accuse Michael Haneke of being a feel-good filmmaker.
No.
This one, Emmanuel Riva, did I say her name
yes,
right?
Yes, I believe so.
She was nominated for an Oscar
for
this.
She was, yes.
It's about just how a relationship late in life just completely falls apart for this couple.
Yes, when her health falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like a car that's like the muffler goes and the radiator goes.
And it is just one thing after another. It is, it's excruciating.
Suddenly you blow a bearing in the engine.
It is, it's well done, but yeah, just, oh, so painful.
And it's like 15 hours long.
Yes, it is.
And it's in German.
I thought it was in French. Pretty sure it's in French.
Is it French? Well, he's Austrian.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's some other language.
I thought it took place in Paris.
It has subtitles.
It does have subtitles.
And all I heard was bleep, bleep, bloop, 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 as I watched it.
Fabulous.
All right. There's also Rapture Palooza, which I got
a little warrior style.
I got
Kevin
emails.
Rapture Palooza.
Rapture Palooza with Anna Kendrick as
I think
the
devil. It's in English,
and
if you can call it that.
And Craig Robinson, not Craig Ferguson, Craig Robinson
whoever.
From The Office. This one I've not seen, but I've gotten probably about 58 emails about in press releases
nice.
Leading up to its like video on demand release this year. I don't know. Killing Season with John Travolta and Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro doing the good old fashioned video on demand.
Robert De Niro.
Crappy directed DVD movies.
Yes.
Then there's like a ton of television.
It is TV season.
Tons. Because they're dropping all the stuff so you can watch the new seasons come September or now.
Whatever.
You got Boardwalk Empire season.
Season
something
season
on the notes.
Season, because it's not in the notes.
Two or three-ish.
I don't know.
Some season of Boardwalk Empire. Star Trek Enterprise season one on Blu-ray. You know, they just recently released the Next Generations. They're rolling those out on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
You already have Star Trek Enterprise on DVD, but it's, you know, Blu-ray. Revenge season two.
Yay. Which, did you watch this? The show.
I haven't gotten through the second season. I've seen a bunch of the first season.
Because I love the first season. The second season is a little out there.
Part of the problem I had with the first season mm-hmm. was it suffers sort of like for the long form series rot, where it has to fill 24 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a neat idea of her kind of coming back and
mm-hmm.
this big Rube Goldberg revenge plot she
has. Oh, yeah.
But to cover 24 episodes of this, it just kind of eventually it starts to just turn in on itself like a snake eating its tail.
And I think they kind of try to fix that in the second season by throwing in a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on. You're like, but it was just more fun when she was just trying to get her revenge on this one family. And now it's like a big like conspiracy and a whole bunch of stuff gets thrown in. And at the end, she's like, yeah, I've been a little distracted lately. I'm like, yes, you have. Let's get back to the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully the third season will pick it up a little bit better.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
There's also NCIS season 10. I don't watch that show. Do you?
I don't, no.
No, I don't. The Good Wife season 4, which I hear is supposed to be really good.
That's what I hear.
I don't watch that one either.
Yeah, I kind of missed out on that one.
Parenthood season 4, another show I don't watch. Being Human season 5, which is I did not like. I think that's the sci-fi series.
Okay.
Not the original British series. Mike and Molly season 4 with your favorite actress.
Melissa McCarthy. Who I hear is absolutely adorable on the show.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Yeah.
I think she's a great actor.
Yeah.
I just think
she used to be wonderful.
She used to be wonderful.
I loved her on Samantha Who. She was great.
Yeah.
So,
Blah. Also, I want to give a little bit of a note to another title that comes out next week. It's a Great Gatsby. The reason I kind of wanted to talk about this is because it's now my chance to see it on Blu-ray without having
after the giant kerfuffle.
Yeah, without having to fight with a theater manager.
I would like to see it at all. That would be nice. I would just like to see it.
Finally a chance to look at the movie in focus and with the proper brightness. And I said this summer you dodged a bullet by going to Peru and all that nonsense.
I know.
And then the stinker of the week I have not seen. But I'm going to award it anyways to Scary Movie 5.
I think it's probably a good pick.
Because, wow, the trailer alone looks awful.
Yes.
And that's about it. That'll do the DVD roundup. Let's talk about the movies. Remind you, The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, I said totally sucks. The World's End, we both said kind of rocks.
Yep.
And you're next. I said it totally rocks.
And I say it still totally sucks. No matter what you say, it still sucks.
Yes. We'll see who wins the box office next week. I said The Butler at $15 million, and you said You're Next at $15 million. And then later, we're going to be talking about Closed Circuit, Getaway. Oh, and One Direction comes out next
week. Just what you've been waiting for.
I'm getting a sign. I'm gonna when I see the screening, it's gonna be 1D in 3D forever.
Awesome.
And I'm gonna squeal and I'm gonna throw my panties at the movie screen.
I think I might skip that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Just duck. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.